This morning, the message is going to come from the book of Mark. If you'll turn to the book of Mark, again, we thank our visitors for being here. I thank the Lord that he's not visiting with us this morning, but this is his house. We came to visit with him, amen? And we appreciate the Lord giving us this opportunity together. And Brother Kenny, you're back there. When you mentioned in Sunday school about the young one that was saved on Tuesday night, I didn't know that when God gave me this message. I did not know that. No one had told me. I thank God to get to hear that good news. We've had preachers in this pulpit that were saved when they were 6, 7, 8 years old. And I'm not God. But I do know this, I would never want to stand in the way of anybody that's trying to get to Jesus. Amen. And I believe the Lord knows what he's doing. I want to read from Mark chapter number 10, beginning in verse 13. And even in this passage, there's things that the Lord has illuminated in my heart and in my mind. They said some old timer was praying for the preacher. And maybe he was Brother John, like one of them you was talking about this morning, didn't know all about the language and the terms and all that. You might have been the one who told me this, Brother John. Said he was praying a big way and said, oh God, eliminate his mind. Amen. But don't pray that for me, amen. I ain't got much to eliminate, amen. But you can pray that God will illuminate my mind. That'd be a blessing. Harold Seiler, had somebody pray that for him, amen. Well, amen, amen. That's a blessing. But this morning, the Bible said, and they brought, in verse 13, young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I thought about this, what God had put on my heart, how that my daughter testified this morning in Sunday school, asking us to pray for her boys, that they'd be saved. I was thinking a while ago, the boys were at the house yesterday. They were hitting on one another. Now, I'm not fussing at them because I had two brothers. Say amen. But boy, wouldn't it be good if they got saved and I could just one time see them hug one another's neck? Say, you're my brother. I love you. Amen. God can do that, can't he? I know he can. The Bible said in verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now what that verse says to me, it don't matter if you're 8 or 80, you ain't getting in unless you come as a little child. And I'll say more about that in a little while. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Lord, it's in my heart to be a blessing to these precious people that have gathered here today. I pray, Lord, that you'd make us a blessing. Lord, challenge our hearts this morning where we need to be challenged. Convict our hearts where we need to be convicted. God, I pray this morning you'd just reach down from heaven with that great finger of God and finger around in someone's heart this morning. Help them to understand their need. Help them to understand that you're waiting with outstretched arms to receive them into the kingdom of God, into your heaven, into your family. Lord, we pray this morning you'd stir our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm just going to go through here and give it to you like the Lord gave it to me. First thing I see about this right here, we're talking about the children or anyone really coming to know the Lord. The first thing I see is that the children were brought to him. I just want to say this morning, the Bible said they brought young children to him. None of us got to Jesus without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the one, my friend, that brought us to Jesus. We didn't just get up one day and decide we were going to go to Jesus. Amen. There was somebody, the Bible said it like this, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. The first thing I look at in this passage is, it blesses my heart, is these children were brought to Jesus. You know, I believe it's good, beloved, listen, to get children around the Word of God, to get men and women around the Word of God, because it's around the Word of God that the Holy Spirit takes and enters into that ministry of drawing people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I went to church that night. Listen, you say, well, preacher, how'd you get there? Well, I got in a car and I drove to church. You say, well, preacher, the Holy Spirit didn't have anything with you coming to church. I'm going to tell you something right now. He had a whole lot to do with me coming to Christ. Amen. He brought me, amen, unto the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said here, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, beloved. And the Bible said in verse number, chapter number 18 of Matthew and verse number 2, the Word of God said here, and Jesus called a little child unto him. Thank God the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus himself called us unto himself. Amen. That's what the Word of God teaches. You say, preacher, why would you emphasize that? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. There are people sitting right here in this building today. You know when he was trying to bring you, when he was calling you, how dangerous it is to walk out those doors when the ministry of the Holy Spirit's taking place in your heart. Beloved, you better take advantage of that. There's no guarantee that he'll ever come by this way again. And we need to be saved while that he's ministering to us. And then the second thing the Lord showed me in the scripture, the children were brought to him, but then the children were brought with a purpose in mind that he might touch them. Let me tell you something right now. They had a need. Somebody brought them to Jesus because they had a need. And beloved friend, listen, you can go through this life and never understand and never recognize and never realize that need. But when somebody, the Holy Spirit, comes and he ministers in your heart, he will let you know, beloved, that you can't make it on your own and that you have a need in your life. You have a need for mercy. You have a need for grace. You have a need for forgiveness. You have a need for a Savior this morning. Every one of us have that need. The children were brought that they might be touched by him. Let me ask you something. Do you remember when he touched you? I never shall forget the day that my Lord touched me. The Spirit of God, beloved, brought me to him. Jesus called, said, Rick, come. And when I came, I'm telling you, he touched me. He said, preacher, what happened when he touched you? I couldn't tell you all about it, but I could tell you some things about it. The guilt went away. The Word of God said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. My sin went away. I was clean for the first time in my life. I was forgiven. I was free. I was happy for the first time in my life. I was content. Beloved, I didn't need anything else. I had everything I needed. There's a songwriter that wrote a song that said, all I need, Jesus Christ is all I need, all I need, all I need. Beloved friend, what a blessing it is to experience the touch of the Master. And then let me give you this. Jesus sees what's going on. Look at verse 14. The Bible said, but when Jesus saw it, see, the disciples were rebuking them. I can just see it now. There's people lined up and they're bringing the children to Jesus. And the disciples said, listen, I don't know exactly what they said, but something like this. He ain't got time for that. Help me. They rebuked him. Y'all get out of here. He's the Master. He's the Lord. He's got too much to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Word of God said Jesus saw it. Watch what he said right here. And Jesus saw it, and he was much displeased. He didn't like it. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus went in the temple one day. They were selling the money changers and all that. He took a scourge and made a whip, and he drove them out of the temple. He didn't ask them to leave. He drove them out of the temple. He threw the tables over. He said, my Father's house, a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. A lot of people have forgotten there's some things in this life that make God angry. And trying to keep someone from Jesus makes him angry. I thought about this. You might get mad at me this morning, but you'll just have to get in line. You know why MTV was created? To keep children from Jesus. Help me this morning. The ungodly heroes that come out of Hollywood and the sports culture. Now I don't know what they decided, but I saw where they thought about keeping the teams in the locker room till after the national anthem. I say that's just as bad. God help us. I say turn that mess off and don't watch them and let them go hungry. I thought about why people say the drug culture's rampant, the sex culture's rampant, and it is. You know, the whole idea, Brother Steve, is just to keep the youngins from Jesus. The science teachers get up in the school and they teach our children, you listen to me, that one day a little blob washed up on the shore and it grew some legs and it grew a tail. It was an ape. That's where we came from. You say, preacher, why are you so upset this morning? Because listen, I understand in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is displeased with anything and anybody that's trying to keep the children from Him. So, in our society, it helps me to see things in a different light. There's all kinds of things going on trying to keep the children from Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. There's nothing wrong with the children playing sports. There's nothing wrong with that. But if sports is their God, they'll be sorry one day after a while. There's nothing wrong, beloved. Listen, I remember Dr. Ron Garris years ago. I heard this story on him. He'd get up and he'd preach. And boy, I tell you, he's rougher than a cob. He'd say, yeah, he said, the world's going to hell. Some of you guys need to buy you another deer stand. That's what he'd say. He said, some of you need to buy you another golf club while the world's going to hell. Anyway, he'd go on and he'd go on. But Brother Garris liked to collect knives. So on the way home one day after preaching like that, his wife, he looked at him and said, honey, when are you going to preach on collecting knives? That's the way we are. Say amen. We want to preach on somebody else's amen. But we don't want to preach on ourselves. All I'm saying is, beloved, there's nothing wrong with having things, but if things have you, it's keeping somebody from Jesus. And Jesus is displeased. He's much displeased when he looks at those disciples that are rebuking those that are making an effort to carry people to Jesus. Beloved, listen to me this morning. God wants you to understand. He sent the Holy Spirit into the world so that the Holy Spirit could come where we are and convict us of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. The Lord's the one that showed me. I thought I was a good feller till he showed up. Somebody help me. I was sorry as sorry could be after he showed up. He showed me who the good feller really is, and he died on an old rugged cross. He showed me my righteousness, the best I could do, would send me straight to hell. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And then he showed me that judgment was coming, that I was headed to hell at a breakneck speed if I didn't get saved by the grace of God. You say, surely, preacher, the Lord didn't show you. Surely he did. Surely I thank him that he did. Someone brought him to Jesus. Someone brought them that they might be touched. Jesus sees what's going on. Any effort to keep the children from Jesus causes him to be much displeased. Jesus likens the little children to the kingdom of God. Let me hurry this morning. As a little child, Matthew 18:1 said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted. Now that word converted carries with it a whole lot of meaning, but it means there has to be a change take place. Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive such one, a little child, in my name receiveth me. Let me give you several things right quick. Childlike. Number one, in size. A child is little. You know why a lot of people will split hell wide open? Because they're too big to be little. How many knows what I just said? They're too proud. Jesus said we'd have to come like a little child. A little child, beloved, when you think about the size, when we become little, we swallow our pride. We realize without him, we're nothing. We're getting close then to the kingdom of God. Someone said a small child is someone who can wash his hands without getting the soap wet. Mama used to say, get back in there, boy, and wash behind them ears. Now, maybe y'all never heard a saying like this. Mama would say, you're rusty. No offense, Rusty. I'd say, Mama, that's a suntan. And Mama would lick her finger and rub. She'd say, honey, suntan don't come off. A small child is someone who can wash his hands without getting the soap wet. Another person said, a child is a person who can't understand why someone would give away a perfectly good kitten. That's a child's heart. Why would you want to give away? I wouldn't want to give a perfectly good kitten away. I'd want to give all the kittens and the mama away. I'm going to stop right there lest I grieve the Holy Ghost. Childlike in size. Have you ever become little? I'm going to tell you what, if God ever shows up in your life, honey, you'll crawl just as low as you can crawl. It reminds me of my grandfather. Years ago, he was talking to an old farmer, and the old farmer, he said he wanted to get saved. And Grandpa said, God will save you, but you're going to have to do this. He said, you're going to have to get out of that rocker. He was on the porch. He said, you're going to have to crawl down off this porch. You're going to have to crawl out there to where those pigs are, and you're going to have to wallow in that mud, and you're going to have to crawl back up on this porch. And he said, God will save you if you'll do that. That old farmer just got down on his knees, went to crawling down off the porch. You say, preacher, your grandfather lost his mind. No, no, no. Let me tell you what Grandpa wanted to know. He wanted to know if he was serious. And that man was serious. He was willing to get little so that he could be saved by the grace of God. There's no pride about a man that's willing to crawl down off a porch and waller with pigs and crawl back to the porch. But that man that day, he'd rather do that than die without God and go to hell. And that man got saved. I say hallelujah. Brother John, it's like you said this morning in Sunday school, Grandpa may not have had much education, but he knew how to get the point across. Childlike in size, childlike in spirit. What do you mean, preacher? Dependent on another, a desire for another, and delight in another. Listen to this. Please listen carefully. Charles Francis Adams, a 19th century political figure and a diplomat, he kept a diary. One day he entered in his diary. He said, I went fishing with my son today. A day wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. And on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry. Went fishing with my father today, the most wonderful day of my life. He said, preacher, what's the difference there? I tell you, it's a difference between a child and a childlike spirit. It's someone that thinks that day was wasted. Beloved friend, not only Jesus said you come as a child, there's childlike in size, childlike in spirit, but then there's a childlike satisfaction. He said, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Well, hang on a minute and you'll understand. How many knows that this coming Christmas, many children are going to receive an expensive Christmas present? Now listen to me carefully. I'm talking about now a satisfaction, a contentment that children have that many times adults lack. And somebody's going to get their feelings hurt, Brother Steve, because mom and dad or mamma and papa spent a lot of money, spent a lot of time picking it out, Brother Johnny, and they're going to find that present over in the corner while that youngin's got the box out in the middle of the floor playing with it. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm telling you, it doesn't take as much to satisfy a child. And when a child is saved, a child of God, whether they're 8 or 80, they're satisfied with the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes they grow up. Listen to me carefully. I'll paint you a picture right here. Grow up, maybe a teenager or a young adult, and somebody gets them a gift, and when they open the gift, there's a look of disappointment on their face. It's not the latest iPhone. Help me. It's next to the latest iPhone, and there's disappointment because it's not the latest and greatest. Help me this morning. It's not those tennis shoes, beloved, that everybody down at the school wants. I'm going to tell you what, there's people in this world don't have any tennis shoes at all. We ought to thank God for what we have. Children are satisfied. When I came to know the Lord, I was not consumed with making a living. That wasn't on my mind that night. I wasn't thinking about a new car. I wasn't thinking about a new house or anything else in this world. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was on my way to hell. I knew that's what I deserved. And my friend, it consumed my heart and mind till I got to Jesus and got relief. I knew He would help me. I knew I needed forgiveness. And God that night brought forgiveness. Can I say that He satisfied my every need that night? Let me hurry along. There's childlike size and a childlike spirit, childlike satisfaction. But I want to give you this. What about a childlike sense of awe? I learned something about Olivia recently. She loves the Christmas lights. She just... I mean, it just grabs her. There's an awe. You know what I believe? I believe there's people sitting in this room that have lost the sense of awe with the Savior of the world. The one that come to where you were that night or that day. Pulled your soul out of hell. Pulled you up out of the muck and the mire. Do you remember that sense of awe? The first thing I can remember thinking after God saved me was, this is so good. Why don't everybody get in on it? And then the Holy Ghost had to say to me, why'd you wait 27 years? Why did you wait 27 years? A sense of awe. Sister Danita, when the Christmas play's going on, I know you've seen it. And I know it has to have something, not everything to do, but something to do with why you keep doing it over and over and over. You look out there and you see those children, and there's a sense of awe. There's a sense of awe at Bible school. There's a sense of awe
They walk down the hallways and see the hallways decorated. They come in and they watch the skits and there's a sense of awe. They watch the puppets and they're just mesmerized by what's going on. Have you lost your sense of awe when it comes to the fact that the likes of him came down here to live among the likes of us and went back to heaven and sits on the throne and sent the Holy Ghost to bring us to Jesus? A sense of awe. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you look back over there where we read to start with, the Bible said in verse 16, and he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them and blessed them. Anthony, do you remember, son, when he took you up in his arms? Brother Joe, do you remember when he took you up in his arms? Do you remember the sense of awe? This is so wonderful. There's nothing between me and my God. The blood has erased it all. Now I can be in his arms. The word of God said, took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. I'm going to say something right now, and you can get mad if you want to, but there's going to be way too much emphasis in the month of December put on a red suit instead of the red blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. You know I'm telling it right. There are young people that in Kingsport, Tennessee, that will be in awe of the man in the red suit and never be in awe of the man that shed that red blood on the cross of Calvary. Why? Well, moms and dads will give an account for that. There's a childlike sense of awe. I'll say this, and I'm not picking on Olivia, but on Thanksgiving Day at our house, there was a lot going on. I felt so sorry for Miss Eve. She started way early that morning, and in 45 minutes, it was over. She cooked all day long. You say, what did she cook? I'm not going to tell you. It's already after 12 o'clock, and it'd kill you. But it was good. Every bit of it was good. It was awesome. But that day, Olivia didn't want to take a nap. Her mommy said, Olivia, you're tired, honey. You need to lay down and you need to take a nap. She said, Oh, Mommy. There was this activity. There was so much going on. She didn't want to take a nap. And so Papa felt led of the Lord to intercede on behalf of Olivia. And I said, Olivia, would you lay down here on Papa's lap? She said, yeah, let me get my blanket. She got her blanket. Miss Charlotte, she was out like a light in 5 minutes. Charity came in and said, she's not tired. What made the difference? I ain't nobody, but I can tell you this. It helped her that day to be in Papa's arms. When's the last time you've been in the arms of the Lord? When's the last time you got so close to him, it got so sweet that you couldn't hardly stand it? Help me this morning. Sense of all. Childlikeness. Listen to this. I'm about done. Robert Fulghum, he wrote in the Kansas City Times, most of what I really need to know about how to live, what to do, how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sandbox at nursery school. These are the things that I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. That's for you, Sawyer. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take the things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. And when you go out in the world, watch for traffic. Hold hands. Stick together. This writer has captured part of what Jesus meant when he said, lest you become a little child, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me just say this quickly. Jesus told us this is the secret to entering into the kingdom of heaven. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I begin to look at some verses. It's also the secret to enjoy the journey to that place called heaven. Listen to what the Bible said quickly. Listen. In John 13:33, Jesus talking to his disciples. They're grown men. Y'all know that, right? But he said, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. 1 John 2:13, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. Y'all mind being called little children? Whoa, glory to God. I'm glad I'm one of God's little children. And the littler I can get, the more I enjoy his presence. There's big ships. There's big shots. But I tell you who's enjoying the Lord this morning. It's them little ships. Those that are just tickled to death to be one of God's little children. The Bible said here, 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him. Stay in his arms, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. I mean, he's glad to be one of God's little children. The secret to getting in is becoming as a little child. Never have had a problem giving an invitation with kids that are junior age and above. You want to know why? Because for a junior age youngin' to walk down to an altar and say they need to be saved, they have to swallow their pride. It's no longer the thing to do. For a teenager to get up out of his seat or her seat and walk down to an altar. Oh, I've had some blessed times in the last 5 years where God got a hold of somebody's heart and they said, Pastor, I need to be saved. Oh, you're fine until God gets a hold of your heart. But then you'll say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Beloved friend, when God speaks to your heart, you just come like a little child. Swallow that stinking pride. You say, I've never been born again. My life is still the same. I'm still guilty. I'm still carrying this mess and I want to unload it. There's only one place to unload it. That's at Calvary. Only one place. How many of you in this room can take yourself back in your mind to when you became as a little child? And God birthed you. You might have been a grown man. You might have been a grown woman. You might have been a little child with childlike faith. Said, I need Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, everybody that gets in the same way. They come as a little child. No pride. Say amen. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. No one ever got saved without humbling themselves and admitting they need the Lord. Let me ask you this. I've been able to be close to Dad this morning. He's in heaven, but we've been close this morning while the choir's been singing. How many can remember a time in your life where if you were up on the roof of this church and your dad was standing down below you and your dad would say, jump, honey. How many can remember a time in your life when you'd have never given it another thought? You know why? That's my dad. We took him at his word. We knew he wouldn't let us get hurt. Amen. And this morning, if you'd just come to a place of childlike faith. Somebody said, well, getting saved is like a leap in the dark. Oh, no, 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 no. You're not leaping in the dark, honey. You're leaping in the light. When you know you're the sinner and you know he's the Savior. And you know there is no other way to be forgiven. You come to him as a little child. He'll save you by his grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. Lord, I didn't write these words down. You did. You said, suffer you, the little children, to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Lord, I sincerely appreciate the ministry that you've given us at Bible Way. The ministry, Lord, to the children. But Lord, you're not just speaking to little children in the sense of their age or their size today. But Lord, you're telling us that regardless of our age, regardless of our size, if we get in, we have to come the same way a little child comes. Father, I pray you take the message and speak to hearts and speak to lives. Help someone, Lord, today to turn loose of their pride, to take hold of the Savior by faith, be forgiven. Lord, someone today that's been saved for a long time, yet, Lord, it's been a long time since they've been up in your arms, close to you, fellowshipping with you. Lord, I pray that today would be the day. They'd just come, Lord, and crawl in an old-fashioned altar prayer and become little once again, that you might pick them up and carry them in your arms. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us.